This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Congressman Tim Kennedy, Democrat from NY26. Congressman, good morning.
Hey, Joe. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start off on the same note that we started off with our last guest, Congresswoman Claudia Tenney. There was a vote in Congress on Thursday. It was the Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act. You were one of 51 Democrats to actually vote for it. Why did you break from the majority of your party on this bill?
Well, look, first and foremost, the unfortunate thing is that with so much happening across this country and with so much at stake with potential government shutdown, the Republican majority continues to put forward bills that are nothing but messaging bills meant to divide the American people and get people's emotions lit. And it's just unfortunate. But look, I voted for the bill because I've always been a champion for women and women's rights and for protecting women at home, in the workplace, and making sure that anyone that may abuse women or families, for that matter, ought to be held accountable. So that's why I voted for it at the end of the day. But, you know, I think the bigger picture here is with so much at stake in our government, in the fear of a government shutdown, in the chaos and dysfunction that has ensued with what has amounted to the most unproductive congressional session in our nation's history, led by a divided Republican extreme MAGA caucus on the other side. These are the sort of things that they put on the floor. So it's disappointing, but look, I took the right vote, and I'll always do that. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done in our nation's capital, and I'm hopeful that the Republican majority will work with us to get a continuing resolution over the finish line and pass a budget to keep the government functioning.
Let's talk about that. The government shutdown, obviously, this seems to be a yearly thing now in Washington. Where are the differences? Where are the two sides not meeting to get a deal done?
Well, I'll tell you what. There was great bipartisanship that transpired this week, and it was a bipartisan rejection of what the House Republican majority put forward on the floor of Congress. The continuing resolution that they brought to the floor failed to pass, starting in part because it had a $12 billion shortfall to take care of our military veterans. That's where it starts and stops for me. A $12 billion hole that they were creating in the budget by putting forward a very extreme resolution that their own party voted against. So it was bipartisan in that we rejected that bill. And the fact that they brought it to the floor, again, it's just continued gamesmanship, this political dysfunction that's taken root here in Washington, D.C. It just needs to end. I mean, at the end of the day, look at American families make a budget to manage their households. And American government needs to do the same. Republicans need to come to the table and pass a clean resolution on the floor to avoid a government shutdown, to avoid forcing millions of federal employees to go without pay, avoiding halting work on critical infrastructure projects, and ensuring that Americans are receiving the benefits that they rely on, like Social Security, like SNAP benefits, other benefit programs, and ensure that we're not costing taxpayers billions of dollars by shutting down the government, but by having workers furloughed, but in fact, we're making government function. And as I began, a $12 billion hole in the budget for our veterans that was put forward in this continuing resolutions. Ultimately, it was defunding our veterans. So I was absolutely opposed to that bill that they put forward. Our Democratic caucus united against that bill that they put forward. And Republicans, at least those that were smart enough to see that this was a ploy of politics on the American people and a continuation of the dysfunction of Washington that the American people have rejected it in their own right. So here we are again. We've got just days, if not hours, to get a continuing resolution completed to keep the government functioning and to stay on track for the American people. There is hope, though, with the ranking Democratic member of the Appropriations Committee, working with the chair Republican of that same committee, and hopefully they'll put together a clean continuing resolution that will keep our government working till the end of the year. And I'm optimistic that we can pass it into law. But this gamesmanship, this cat and mouse maneuvering that happens down in Washington just needs to end. We need to do the work of the American people, and I'm hopeful we'll do that this week.
Now, this is airing on Sunday. You and I are talking on Friday the 20th, and right now on the floor is the Enhanced Presidential Security Act. Obviously, this is after a second attempt, assassination attempt on the former president and Republican candidate Donald Trump. I want to ask you, a lot of talk about the rhetoric, about turning down the temperature. We heard so much of that after the attempt in Butler, and I believe you and I talked that weekend.
Yep.
Do you think there needs to be, on both sides of the aisle, a toning down of the rhetoric and a cooling down of what seems to be a very hot temperature in D.C.?
Well, look, every time there is a political season, there's a heightened temperature. And you're right. We have to get away from that. But I think what we saw was a demonstration of great bipartisanship and a unanimous vote in favor of protecting the former president to the level that the current president gets, as well as the vice president on the campaign trail. So it's important that our democracy functions without fear of violence. That's what makes our country different from the rest of the world, that we have peaceful elections without fear of violence, that we allow our candidates to have conversations with the American people, and that we have a peaceful transition of power. That is what the American democracy is all about, and that is what we expect our democracy to function as. And so protecting our candidates at the top of the ticket, regardless of whether we agree with them or not, on both sides of the aisle is absolutely imperative. And we gave the Secret Service of the United States of America the freedom, the ability to get staffed up to the level that will ensure that both candidates are protected, and not only now, but into the future.
Do you think using the word threat to describe Donald Trump, or for Republicans to describe Kamala Harris, do you think maybe there's better words to use or better ways to run on policy instead of threats about either candidate?
Well, look, if you look at what is transpiring right now in America, there's a very huge contrast in what the future of America looks like. And what I can plainly tell you is that Democrats are ready to lead. And I believe very strongly that with a week away from what amounts to a government shutdown and the continuation of dysfunction here in the House of Representatives, that it's important for our country to recognize that this is a pivotal point in America where Democrats have the opportunity to lead with a fellow New Yorker as the head of the House of Representatives, Hakeem Jeffries. He will make history as the first black Speaker of the House in U.S. history. We're going to work to bring tax cuts for the middle class, restore reproductive rights for women, pass a comprehensive bipartisan border bill, and defend health care in America, preserving Medicare, preserving Social Security, preserving voting rights. And I see, unfortunately, the political rhetoric that's heated up from the other side that really is not becoming of what our democracy should be about. And look, I believe strongly in the philosophies that our Democratic Party champions, but it's a party of the people, and it is driven by the people. And so at the end of the day, it's going to be up to the people to make the decision of who they want to choose to be the president of the United States. I know who I'm voting for. I know the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, will be an extraordinary leader. She's demonstrated that. She's demonstrated the class and the dignity and the grace and the strength that she brought to the table when she had that incredible debate just a couple of weeks ago. Her vision for the future that's about America and uniting America, regardless of political affiliation.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Bringing America together to advance future infrastructure investment and create jobs and build on technology and reduce the cost of groceries, reduce inflation, build on the advancements of like the CHIPS Act, and help communities across the country, just like ours in Buffalo, the Niagara region, and Western New York, thrive. I mean, that's what these elections are all about. So when you cut through all the rhetoric, it comes down to policy, and that's why I believe very, very strongly that we need to be talking about the policy and get away from the name-calling and the rhetoric. But when we do talk about policy, Democrats win every single time.
Congressman, talking about local investments, we talked about the VA and the issues at the VA. You have proposed a new VA in the city of Buffalo. Where is this in Congress, and what are you hoping for?
Yeah, well, look, when it became clear that the administrative failures at the Buffalo VA hospital were resulting in veterans not receiving the care they deserved, I began to do everything in my power to deliver for the hospital and the veterans that have donned the military uniform. These are our heroes. And they have been promised health care by our government, and we need to deliver that. And unfortunately, because of the leadership at the VA hospital, there was a lack of care being provided to our veterans when they were going for services, when they were looking for cancer treatment, when they were looking for help with other illnesses. And, you know, the staff over there is doing God's work. They are frontline workers, but they need to have the resources necessary to provide those services to our veterans. So we got a commitment just last week from the Undersecretary, Dr. Sharif Alanhal, to come to Buffalo to work with us to ensure that we have the resources necessary. They've committed to making Buffalo a priority, not only in the future for hopefully what we will get in new infrastructure for a new VA hospital that gives technologically advanced health care to our veterans, but also in the moment, making sure that our veterans are getting the care that they need while we're working for a bigger vision. So, you know, I'm pleased that we secured this commitment for moving forward for the future for a new hospital, but it's not going to happen overnight. So we're laying the groundwork to deliver a hospital that our veterans deserve, but making sure that they're getting the care in the moment when they arrive at the VA hospital in its current place over on Bailey Avenue. And with the investment in the short term, with tens of millions of dollars going in for new infrastructure over there, it's the beginning of a large-scale investment for the future. That's what our veterans deserve. And we need to make sure that we're continuing to take care of our veterans into the future.
So I know you said there's you know, it's not something that will happen right away, but there's a commitment. Is there any kind of timetable at this point?
Well, look, the bottom line is I believe we need a new hospital. And the staff want a new hospital. And the veterans want a new hospital. Our region needs a new modern VA hospital that delivers high-quality care. The current hospital was built in the 1940s, and it opened in 1950, so it's nearing 75 years old. So the building doesn't have air conditioning. It's falling apart in many ways, and it's time to stop putting Band-Aids on it. We need a new VA hospital that's technologically advanced, gives our frontline heroes the facilities they need to take care of our military heroes. And, you know, we've begun working with the Department of Veterans Affairs to prioritize this investment and secure funding. But look, at the undersecretary made it clear that this is a process. And so we have to work. He said it's going to take time. And so we have to work toward that goal of a larger investment into our VA hospital in the city of Buffalo with this new, modernized, technologically advanced facility. But at the same time, we have to make sure in the moment we're meeting the promise of America to our veterans. And that means giving our veterans and these hospitals the resources they need to provide the care and hire the staff, which will be paid for in part by the $12 billion that was left out of that continuing resolutions Republicans put on the floor that failed this past week. So we're looking forward to getting a continuing resolution that meets the promise of our veterans in the $12 billion commitment that was made with the PACT Act and the enhancement of health care for our military heroes.
Other news that broke this week, that now U.S. citizens can renew their passports online. What will that process look like for those of us who have a soon-to-expire passport back at home?
Yeah, so the program allows eligible U.S. citizens to renew passports online. Its aim is really to make the renewal process faster and more convenient, especially for those like us that are living near the U.S.-Canadian border. And the eligibility includes passports issued between 2009 and 2015 that is valid for 10 years. You have to be 25 or older, and no changes to personal details, and really an 8-week or more travel plan. So, you know, no sooner than 8 weeks. And renewal time is equivalent to a mail-in process. So it's open for renewal of passports online. That's an added convenience for Western New Yorkers, in particular, who are going across this northern border. So it really streamlines travel and provides more opportunity to connect with the government services. It makes it much more convenient for folks.
But it's still not the kind of thing that, you know, it expired yesterday, I need it tomorrow, and you jump online. You still need to give yourself plenty of time.
Well, I'll tell you what, in that case, I'm telling you, call my office. We will do everything in our power to help folks. We do it all the time. We jump into action. We work with the U.S. Passport Service. We have a agency in downtown Buffalo that works miracles. I have seen miracles happen with passports and kept families together, both on their vacations and probably afterwards. So making sure people have what they need to travel and travel efficiently and effectively is something that we help do all across our community. So we make it convenient for people that want to renew their passports online now, but at the same time, we're always here in a pinch.
All right, Congressman, I know we talked about this a little a few minutes ago, but it's, you know, we're 40-some days away from Election Day. Where do you feel this election is? Because if you ask me, and this isn't the Joe Beamer opinion show, I realize that, but if you ask me, I would say this election's closer than 2016 or 2020. How do you see it from the Capitol in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think what we're seeing across America is that the polls are tightening everywhere. You know, we have seen a huge bump since Vice President Harris became the Democratic nominee. She is gaining ground all across America. The swing states are called swing states for a reason. Whether we're talking about Ohio or Pennsylvania or Florida or Michigan or Wisconsin, these are states that have, you know, a mixed electorate in the urban, suburban, rural communities. The politics are tight. And, you know, I think when you look at the policies that we discussed earlier in the conversation, Vice President Harris is the clear winner when it comes to standing up and fighting for the people of America. Again, proposing a tax cut for the middle class while the former president is talking about a tax cut for large corporations and billionaires. We want to make sure that every American has the opportunity to live the American dream and pull themselves up by their bootstraps and work to a better future for themselves and their families. We want to protect a woman's right to choose in this country and codify it into law that's been rolled back by the most conservative Supreme Court in the history of the United States, at least back to the Civil War, that's been championed by the former president. I mean, these are just two instances that clearly delineate the top of the ticket, and I believe Vice President Harris has demonstrated, because of her commitment to serving all people, regardless of political stripe, and uniting our country, that she is the right person for the job. And the fact that this is a moment in time where she will make history as the first woman president of the United States, that Hakeem Jeffries will make history as the first black speaker of the House, again, a fellow New Yorker, that will only strengthen our position in leading in America. I believe these are exciting times for us in Western New York, but all across New York and all across America.